Well, we are in our Advent series, and Pastor Kevin, week one covered hope. We have hope because of Jesus. Last week covered the idea of peace. We all desire more peace in our world, in our families, in our workplaces, in our lives, and he talked about that last week. And this week, we get to talk about joy, the idea of having some form of, you could say happiness. I know that sounds a little more shallow, but being happy, being delighted, being glad, having a contentment in the Lord, just being excited. And that is what today is about. What I would like to do, I'm going to read a lot of scripture. I want to read through the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2. And I did actually put all 21 verses in the slides for us. And so that'll be on the screen if you have your Bibles or tablets. We'll be in Luke chapter 2. We'll be in the New International Version. And we're going to read through this story together. All right, here's what it says. Verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census to take place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great," everyone say,
joy
for all the people. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. Now, I just wanted to read through that story. And in the middle of Luke chapter 2 there, you have verse 10, and we repeated it, great joy for all of the people. We have joy, they had joy, because Jesus was born. And verse 11 tells us why, is because he was the Messiah. That's where the joy came from, is who Jesus would be for the people, who he would be. Messiah, in Greek, that's the word Christ, which means anointed one. He was someone that God had anointed, that God was sending. And there were multiple things as the shepherd and the Jewish people would have heard about. They would have thought about the idea of deliverance from oppression. When they heard the word Messiah, one of the things that would have gone through their head is will he free us from Roman rule? What will he free us from this idea of deliverance from oppression? For some, they heard the idea of restoration of Israel, the actual land of Israel on the map where they could go back and live and be there. For some, it was the idea of peace. Could there be peace in the world? And could there be peace in their lives? And one of the other things they would have thought of was redemption. God created us to be in community with him, but they knew from the very beginning sin had separated that community. And for them, they gave continual sacrifices, daily, weekly, annually. All the time they were giving sacrifices to try to make up for their sin and to try to connect back with the Lord. And they knew there was a time and a place where that no longer would have to happen. There would be redemption. All of these are wrapped up into this word, Messiah. And that is where their joy came from. Here's a question for all of us. This is a question that I asked myself just as I was studying and writing. What brings you joy? And I'll even say this. For this morning, use them as the same thing. What makes you happy? What makes you glad? What things do you delight in? See, we see the word joy, the idea of joy, all throughout the Christmas story. Not just Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 1, we see it. In Luke 1, verse 46 and 47, this is Mary. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." About 10 verses later, 57 and 58, she's talking about her cousin. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, John the Baptist, she gave birth to a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. Both of those times, God doing something. And then in Matthew 9, Matthew has part of the Christmas story as well. Here's what he said, is as they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. And they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We see joy all over the Christmas story. We also see joy talked about in other places. We have Nehemiah chapter 8. And Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve," and you guys would know this, "for the joy of the Lord is your strength." That's where that comes from, as he's encouraging his people. Your strength doesn't come from worldly things, the things you see around you. Your strength comes from God. Your strength comes from the Lord. Psalm 1:1-2, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the community of mockers." Verse 2, here's what it says, "But whose delight," it's the same word for joy there, the same meaning for joy, "whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night." Last verse for you, I know I've been reading a lot. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy." It comes from God. He's the one that can fill us. And it continues on. This is from last week. "And peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." All of these verses show us that instead of looking out here, we look to him. And that is where our joy should come from. But if you're anything like me, you find joy and you delight in other things. We pursue things of the world to make us happy, to keep us going. If we can do this or have this, or do whatever it may be, and we're like, then we'll have joy. Then we'll be happier. Then life will be better. Let's talk about a few of those. I think the first thing, at least, and this is me, I guess I'm kind of confessing today and then hoping you were like, amen, like, yeah, you do it too. How about hobbies? Things that we like to do. Have you ever searched for joy in a hobby? Hunting, fishing, baking, dancing, painting, drawing, working out, watching a sports team, and the list can go on and on and on of things that we enjoy to do. There's something that I enjoy. I heard you, Kellen. I heard you back there. I'm a Green Bay Packers fan, okay? I know I mention it every time I preach, so I won't stay on it too long. I got to tell you something. When this team wins, I have so much joy. When this team loses, I have zero joy, right? Like, I could break my TV every time they lose. Like, I just angry at like, it's crazy how something that's worldly, something like a hobby, something like a sports team, it can bring so much joy, but it can also take that joy away so quickly. Do you have a hobby that is like that? Something that it's so fun, but then when it fails you, it really lets you down. Like it hurts. They hurt me on the inside sometimes. Hopefully not this weekend. Here's the next thing. These are the most important people in my world. Now, there's going to be a picture on the screen, too, because you guys aren't going to be able to see all these. These are more baby pictures. Up here is going to be a recent one. That's just a few weeks ago. Maybe for you, you find your joy or you search for your joy in your relationships. Be that a child, a parent, grandparent, a friend. Maybe it's a dating relationship, whatever it may be. But you look for joy in your relationships. Now, I'm going to give a few examples. I have to be careful. I wrote this line. I want you to know that my marriage is awesome, okay, before we get into the next part. And I want you to know that I love my wife, sitting right here, more than anybody in this world. And sitting next to her is my mother-in-law and my father-in-law. So we're not going to talk about marriages this morning, okay? We're going to move on to children. We're just going to leave that. We're going to leave that be. And we're going to talk about children. If you're a parent in this room, you'll understand that your children they're a gift from the Lord, and they can bring you so much joy, and they do bring joy. They can also, as quick as they warm your heart, they can just rip it out. I mean, just immediately, right? They do something. Will you show the picture of Piper? I know you just individually look. I know, you said that. Yeah. 3 weeks ago, she took a pink marker to our couch, okay? Three different cushions. There was no awing that day, okay? So sweet. And then the couch is covered in marker. And here's a picture of Oliver. This dude missing. If you could see, there's a couple teeth missing there. He loves that. I remember the day. He was 2 or 3 years old. We walked in his room, and he had a bottle of fabric glue, okay? The problem is the bottle was already empty, okay? Walls, carpet, baseboards, him, the door, it was everywhere, and they bring so much joy, but there can also be these moments where you're like, why did this have to happen? And it could be any relationship. Relationships are from the Lord, and we're meant to be in community, but they're also, again, they're a created thing from the Lord. It's not the Lord. It's something of this world, and we as humans will always be let down by any and all of the relationships at some point. There will be a frustration. There will be a failure. There will be a misunderstanding between people, and that's one of the things that I think we can find joy in. Here's the third one. Someone came to my office earlier and asked why I had a stack of money. It's 25 ones, so if anybody's like, I'm going to go steal from the pastor, that's fine. It's okay. I don't want that to tempt you too much, but don't we look for that? Like, maybe it's not the hobbies, maybe it's not the relationships, but maybe it's money. It's maybe the job you have, the job that you wish you had, or the position they shouldn't have got, but you should have, or the promotion you were hoping for. Maybe, I was going to quote Christmas Vacation, I won't. Maybe you put a down payment on a pool and you're getting jelly instead. But doesn't this, it's so easy. This is worse than these two, in my opinion, in that it's so controlling, and it can, the greed that it can bring, we just look for the next thing. If we could buy that house, we'll be happy, right? If we could have that car, we will be happy. There will be more joy in our family. Our kids, we'll get along better if we had one more bedroom. And then you go buy that house, and it's the same thing in the family. And money can be great. God gives it to us to feed our families, to have a home, to enjoy life, to give to those in need, like last Wednesday when you guys bought presents and we served the community. God, it has that, but when we find joy and meaning in it, that's not what it's for. None of these things are for that. I came across this quote a couple years ago, and I wrote it in my notes on my phone because I wanted to be able to go back to it. It says, and this is from a person of wealth. Being wealthy makes my life much more comfortable, but not more fulfilling. Being wealthy makes my life much more comfortable, but not more fulfilling. There's no more fulfillment when the check is higher. There's just comfort in that moment, or the house, or the car, or whatever it may be with money. It's a temporary comfort. See, God blesses us with passions, right? He made you the way you are, the type of person you are. There are things that you just enjoy to do because God created you that way. A hobby, a thing you do, whatever it may be, God created that. God also created us to be in relationship. When Adam was by himself, he wasn't happy. And God said, there's someone else. There's another half we have to make. And then God blesses us with children. He blesses us with friendships, colleagues, neighbors. I love hanging out with our neighbors, right? God gives us those relationships, but that's not the source of joy. And God also gifts us with finances, right? To be able to provide for a family, to be able to live, to be able to enjoy life, but also to be able to be a part of kingdom work and do things for his kingdom with that. Here's the problem with all three of these things is they are the created and not the creator. They are the created and not the creator. They are avenues of joy that the Lord has provided for us, but they're not the source of the joy. God is bringing that joy into those avenues through those things he's created for you and for me. And I put a definition here because we really haven't had one today. Joy is a deep down contentment in Christ due to his birth, his death, and his resurrection. Let me read that one more time. Joy is a deep down contentment. I can do all things through Christ. It's this deep down, whatever happens out here, I can still move forward because of what God has done. I can still push on when life gets hard because of his birth, his death, and his resurrection. No matter if your team wins or if you go out fishing and there's not a bite, no matter if a friend betrays you or a family member says something hurtful, no matter if you have all the money in the world or if you're wondering, how do we get gifts this year? The tree's empty. No matter the situation, we have joy because of Jesus. Amen? We have joy because of Jesus. As we begin to close this morning, I want to invite the worship team. You guys can head back to the stage. And just as I was writing this, I thought, what does this look like for us now? What do we do leaving here? And I think there's a few different maybe groups of people in the room of where you're at spiritually. First group, if you're in this room, and I know at Christmas time, people, they go to church because it feels right to go to church around the season time, the holidays. And maybe you don't know the love of Jesus in your life. And I want you to know it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. God loves you. And he wants to redeem your story. And he came into this world over 2,000 years ago as a baby in a manger so that you and I could have life. Life through that cross, not that specific one. That cross, it brought us close to him. Sin separated us, and the cross bridges that gap and brings us back to him. And here for you, if you're that person in this room, Scripture tells us to accept and receive that truth. Romans 10, verse 9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, that's where my joy comes from. That is the foundation of my joy. There is joy in Jesus like nothing else in this world, no matter what we pursue. There's nothing like it. And I want to invite you into that joy. Here's the, maybe the second group of people. You're someone that you believe, absolutely, you believe in Jesus. You've gone to church throughout your life. You've studied scripture. You've prayed. But recently, maybe the last couple weeks, months, years, maybe it's been a decade. I don't know. You've just kind of distanced yourself. Something happened. Maybe something you used to draw joy from, something ended. And maybe your relationship with God was strained because of that. Maybe there was a distraction, a worry, or a concern. And you've searched for that, and now you're sitting here. And my invitation for you is to invite that joy back. Reconnect with the Lord if you're that person. And if you're someone in here, you're like, I read my Bible this morning. I have joy. I'm good. Great. Here's what I want you to hear. This is something that Kelsey, through her devotional time, she realized just reading through the Christmas story, joy is just mentioned over and over and over again. And it's not meant to have, we're not meant to only have joy in the hard times. Like when life gets hard, we're like, oh, our joy is in God. But like when life's going good, do we remember why it's going good? Do we remember the source of that? When life is good, it's almost harder to have joy in the Lord because we have joy in all these things. Life's good. Our team's winning, paychecks in the bank, family's happy and healthy, and we can almost forget to have joy in the Lord in those moments because life is going great. Philippians 4:4 says this, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Always. Good times, bad times. Not just the hard times. Not just the holidays, right? It's not like, oh, not just joy in December, but joy in January. It's very little joy in January. It's just cold. You take the Christmas down. But let's worship God in January this year, right? We have the joy of the Lord in our hearts and our minds and our lives. I think for all of us, no matter what kind of group we just talked about, where everyone in this room, there's a few questions for us to end on. Just to ponder. Are you drawing near to Jesus, or are you drawing near to other things? Because that will dictate your joy. Where are you? What are you drawing near to? Is it Jesus? Is it the things of this world? What's your community look like? People you spend time with and have gatherings with? What's your time in the Word look like? What's prayer life look like? What type of music are you listening to? What are you allowing into your mind, your ears, your heart? What type of podcast? When we draw near to Jesus, we see and experience his joy in our life. Let me reread Luke chapter 2, not the whole thing, verse 10 and 11. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great for all of the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. Let us find joy today and every day because our Savior has been born. Amen. Let me pray for you guys. We got a song after this, then we'll be dismissed after that. God, thank you so much for what you do, for who you are, for being born. And God, in giving us, thank you for the avenues of joy you give us in our hobbies, the passions you've given us, your provision that you give us, the families. But Lord, help us not to have that be our only source, to be our foundation of joy. Allow us and help us, God, to draw near to you first and foremost, and then see and receive your blessings of joy in our world. God, I pray that over everyone in this room, no matter where they're at in their faith and in life, the holidays can be hard, but Lord, help us to draw near to you and to receive that joy. It's great news for all people. Our Messiah has been born. Thank you, Jesus. In his name, everyone said, amen.